Bible this evening to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Didn't mention it's good to have Cheryl Fondon with us visiting, and she came over to be with us on Roundup Sunday, and I appreciate that. Appreciate that very much. If you got your place there in Romans, then I want you to turn to Luke chapter 14, all right? Romans chapter 1 and then Luke chapter 14, if you would. And between those two passages of Scripture, we ought to be able to find something to preach about just a little bit. And Romans chapter 1 and then Luke chapter 14, if you would. Hope you have your Bible. You'll open it up and follow along with us. And, you know, begin in verse 16 there in Romans chapter 1. The Bible says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Turn back, if you will, to chapter 14 of the Gospel of Luke. Just one verse, Luke 14, verse 18. The Bible says, "And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused." Let's read the next couple of verses. "And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." They all with one consent began to make excuse. But yet Romans 1 verse 20 says, so that they are without excuse. Without excuse. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Lord, show us the truth. And Lord, help it to change us. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's kind of interesting this morning. Hadn't got preaching very long. And the sound system in the auditorium completely cut out. And Brother Blanton told me after the service, he said it did that during the Sunday school time, but he said I was able to, you know, do something and got it to come back on. He said, but I tried 20 times to get it to come back on, and it wouldn't do it. Yet Brother Charles, he said, I came in late because all he was interested in was eating lunch anyway. And so he got here late, and he said, man, the outside, said I could hear it real good in the foyer. So I don't know what the difference is, except the devil maybe fights you, you know. But hey, tonight we're without excuse. You know, if there's one thing people like to do, we love to make excuses. We love to make excuses. I read there in Luke chapter 14, they all with one consent began to make excuse. And when you read the excuses, they're just goofy. Guy said, well, I bought me some oxen, now I'm going to go see if they're any good. Yeah. Another fellow said, well, I bought some land, and I want to go look at it. Yeah. If he was like a lot of people years ago that bought land in Florida, he should have looked at it before he bought it, all right? Because some of them bought land, and when they went to look at it, they found out there was 6 inches of water on all of it. So it's kind of crazy. And then the fellow said, I've married a wife. I guess she wouldn't let him come. I don't know. But excuses. Back in the 70s, there was a song entitled Excuses. It came out. I love the song, you know. Excuses, excuses, you can hear them every day. Oh, the devil will supply you if from church you'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. In the summertime, it is too hot, and winter, it's too cold. Spring and fall, when the weather is nice, there's always some place to go, either to the mountains or to the sea or to visit some old friend, or maybe just to stay at home and hope the kin folks will drop in. Excuses, all right? Excuses. The world's filled with them. People make them, and, we can come up with an excuse for everything, especially if it's something we don't want to do, all right? And it might be, we might be the best at making excuses for doing nothing. Here's why I'm doing nothing. Here's my excuse, all right? I'll be honest with you. In the years I've spent in the Lord's work, I have heard all kinds of excuses. All kinds. Folks give them out for not coming to church. So, preacher, that's why I can't come. People give excuses why they can't be faithful in the house of God. People give excuses about not giving. People give excuses for not serving God. People give excuses for not living right, just living right in general, and doing what you ought to do. I've heard them. I heard them always, all right? I'm going to say this to you. There's no excuse. There's no excuse for living a wicked life. But can I go past that? There's no excuse for living an indifferent life either. As a Christian, there's none for giving God only your spare time or leaving him out completely. Hey, there's just no excuse for that kind of stuff. There's no excuse for messing up your life. Amen. You don't have to mess up your life. I've stood with people, I've pled with people, and I've said, you don't have to mess up your life. The Bible says people are without excuse, all right? You say, well, I just don't see that. Well, hang with me. I hope you will when I get through. Number one, you mark it down. There is a God, and you know it. There is a God, and you know it. Oh, I know. I've talked to the atheists. I've talked to the agnostics. The agnostics want to appear intelligent without saying they're an atheist, you know. Now, I've talked to the free thinkers, if you will, and they would have you doubt that there is a God, you know. They would come along and say, man, there is no God. My comment to them is, okay, how do you know there's no God? They say, well, how do you know there is one? Well, we could spend a while there, all right. You know, that they say, well, I can't see him or feel him. Okay. So everything you can't see or feel doesn't exist.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Really. A lot of things out there you don't believe exist that exist, okay? Hey, there is a God. And the truth of the matter is people know it. We live in a day where too many people have been exposed to all the heresy and all the garbage, you know, of the falsehood of evolution. I was looking online this afternoon, checking some things, and when I brought it up, I saw this, that they've discovered a new skull that is older than any previously discovered skull, and it's totally changed the thinking of evolutionists. But they're still wrong, okay? They're still wrong. I tried to read down through the article, and I'm going, do what? You know, read down there, trying to check it out, trying to help me, you know. Hey, we've heard all their wild conjectures. We've heard them talk about all their vast time scales, you know, billions and billions and billions of years. All there. I've heard their faulty reasoning. Listen, in spite of what you might think, I do have an education. I have read a book or two, all right? They're messed up. I don't care what they say, there is a God. I also know this down deep inside, just about all men, there is a realization and there is a compelling to worship. There is just something within mankind that wants to worship. Now, they may not worship God. A lot of people, they worship themselves. They worship people, but there is something within them that longs to worship somebody or something, and it's out there. It's amazing to me. I go to a funeral, and it's amazing how many people I will hear say, people talk and say, they talk like there's a God at a funeral because, well, we know they've gone to a better place. Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. I even hear that said about the ungodly in Hollywood and that die, and boy, there's no evidence whatsoever that there's been any regeneration in their life, and they'll say, well, we know they're in a better place. And they may even look up. And that's true of those that claim to be atheist. It's almost like somebody would make the statement, thank God I'm an atheist. But it's so messed up, all right? Hey, I want to tell you something. There is a God. You know it. You can see His hand. If you'll look, you can see His handiwork every day. Every day. Just see His handiwork. You don't think so. You'll just sit down sometime, lay your hand out there and look at it. Look at that. Figure out how it got like that. But better yet, you figure out how that eyeball got to where it did so you could even see that hand. There's a God. There's a God, and He put you together. He made you. He made us. Boy, knowing His majesty and His glory, we have no excuse in this world not to worship Him. None whatsoever. The truth of the matter is the fear of His wrath ought to make us want to live right. Yes, sir. When I was a kid, I wanted to live right because I knew Dad might catch me. I lived with that. And hey, you say, you shouldn't fear your folks. Well, I did. I feared my dad some, all right? And I had a little bit of fear there. And so it made me want to do right. But when I grew up, I wasn't so much worried about Dad. But I began to think, you know, there's a God. And what Dad doesn't see, God surely sees. He sees all that Dad sees, but He sees a whole lot more. I'm going to tell you something. There's no excuse in this world for messing up your life because there is a God, and you know it. You know it. He's there. Hey, not only that, but there's a Bible, and you can read it. There's a Bible, and you can read it. Ever stop and sit down and think what a wonderful thing is that God has given us in the Word of God? Amen. There's a commercial out on television. I have no idea what the commercial is advertising. None at all. But I've seen it a time or two, and there's these two ladies talking to each other, and this one lady is going to have a baby, I think it goes like this. I don't pay a lot of attention to commercials, but it goes like this, and she says, yep, going to put the baby there, and there's a place there for the manual that comes with it. Have y'all seen that commercial? Yeah, I've seen that commercial. And the other woman says, oh, wait a minute, there's no manual. Well, wait a minute, I want to tell you, there is a manual. There is a manual. There's a manual for how to raise your children. It's the Word of God. There's a manual. Now, the baby didn't come with it. God sent it way ahead, all right? There's not only a manual for that, there's a manual for life. Say, how should we live? Well, what does God say? What has He written down for our enlightenment and our edification? It's here. We have the Bible. We can put our hand on it. We have no problem getting a copy of the Bible. If anybody comes around here and says, well, I don't have a Bible, I can't afford one, we'll buy them one. I don't know how many Bibles over the years we've given away. I mean, and continue to do it. Don't mind doing it. I want you to have a Bible. Love for you to have it. But we live in the land where you got them. I have no idea. I bet I got 20 Bibles at home. The other day I was going through some stuff because we had moved, and I thought I knew what was in this box, and so I started going down through it and said, yep, that's here. That's what I thought was in here. Wait a minute. What's that? Pulled out this box, opened it up. It's a Bible. I'd forgot I had. I have no idea how many Bibles I've got. They're easy for us to have. They're easy for us to have. Brother Duell and Bethany, they bought me one before they left. Real nice Bible. Hey, what a joy that we can have this book. We've got it. We can read it. God's written down what he wants us to know. Good news. It's in English. It's in English. You don't have to master some other language. You don't have to learn Greek and Hebrew to get the message God has for you. God's preserved his word for us in English.
Right.
We have it. We're blessed.
Amen.
We've got it. Hey, there's a Bible and you can read it. You don't have to worry about, well, I didn't know what to do. Well, that's no excuse because you got a Bible and you can read it. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt preserve them forever. That's this book. They provide the authority for all that we believe. They provide the authority for all that we teach. They provide the authority for all that we practice. If we can't find the word of God given it there, then we need to be careful about making a big issue out of it. I'm a believer in wearing white shirts. Okay? You liberals got those colored shirts on. There he is right there. Right there is liberal. They're liberal. I'm kidding. All right? I believe in wearing white shirts, but I don't have a scripture that says you need to do it. So I don't get up and preach you're going to hell if you don't. Now, I know some people that go to a different church, and the lady was telling me one time an evangelist came through and preached and said, if the men didn't wear white socks, they were going to hell. And I can remember asking her, what scripture did they use for that? She said, none. Well, now, you can believe that if you want to, but you can't preach that because you can't back it up in the scripture, all right? You just can't back it up in the scripture. I'm glad we've got the word of God.
Amen.
It's the authority for what we believe, what we teach, what we practice, what we're to do. Thank God we've got this book. But because we've got it, we're without excuse. We have the Bible. We can read it. We can read it. I'll tell you the third thing, all right? God gave us the church, and you can attend it. God gave us a church and you can attend it. Hey, we ought to be in the house of God. I just want to tell you, there was no committee that ever got together and said, let's start something to get people and give them something to do on Sunday. Nobody did that. Nobody did that. There's no one individual you can trace it back to and said, there's the person that started that. I'm assuming if you went back far enough and you knew where to look, you could find who started the Rotary Clubs. I have no idea, but somebody started it. I don't know who did. And, you know, the Lions Club, the Woodmen of the World. Somebody started those things. I'm going to tell you something. You go back, you want to know where the church came from, that church is God's idea. It's God's idea. It was his idea. It's God's plan. By the way, God said, I'm going to use the church for the evangelization of the world. That's what we're going to do, all right? And then he did something. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, he commanded us to go. Commanded us to go. I preach this. I've said it numerous times. There's nowhere in the Bible where God commands a lost man to be in the house of God. But he does command his child to go. He started the church for us. There's a church. You can attend it. You can attend it. Here's what I found in life. And you said, was this a scientific survey? No, it was just a realization, a reality check. Folks that faithfully go to church have less trouble with a messed up life. Folks that faithfully go to church have less trouble with a messed up life. They have less problems to deal with, all right?
Amen.
They just it's just amazing how it works. Faithful attendance will instruct you in the things of God.
Right,
help you to know. I've said this before. I believe it. I am not against Bible college. I did not go to Bible college. I would not recommend necessarily anybody do what I did. But I'll say this to you. If you'd go to church, now I'm talking Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, Wednesday evening service, anytime there's a revival, be there. Anytime there's a Bible conference, sure, be there. Pay attention. And you know what? You'll get a Bible education. You'll get it if you'll pay attention. If you'll pay attention. Now, I paid attention in church. When I was a kid, we paid attention, my brother and I, because we knew we might be quizzed about it when we got home. And there'd be some questions, you know, what was Sunday school lesson about? The Bible. No, we had to have something better than that, all right? Had to be something better than that. Hey, we paid attention, but I paid attention because, you know, I wanted to know something. Boy, one thing I surely want to know, I want to know the things of God. If you'll go, you can be instructed in the things of God. If you'll go, it'll inspire you to live for God. You will not be sitting in a church service and God move upon you and you say, when the service is over, let's go rob a bank. That's not going to happen, okay? Man, God spoke to me during that service. Let's go rob a bank. No, you're not going to come out that way. But you will be inspired to live for God. It's an encouraging thing. Encouraging thing. We gather together. We fellowship together. We come together. It's not because you don't have anything else in the world to do, all right? Some people would say, you Christian people, man, you go to church all the time. You don't have a life. Yeah, we got a life. It's here. We found real life that really counts, and we come here and we're inspired to live for God, live a clean life, live a pure life. We're encouraged to do that. Man, we come, what a blessing it is to get in on that. Not only that, you'll faithfully go, it'll cause you to enjoy it when you do. Cause you to enjoy living for God. I've never regretted living for God. I enjoy being a Christian. I enjoy trying to serve Him. I enjoy just trying to live a godly life. It's not painful. It's not painful. I'm not going to get up in the morning and say, well, I preached it yesterday, now I've got to live it. And it's not like that, all right? Amen. It's an enjoyable thing. To be in the, you know, the house of God. God gave us the church and you can attend it. It'll make a difference for you. Hey, on the other hand, go ahead and skip it. Just skip it. Leave it out completely. Neglect to attend, all right? You're going to have some problems, buddy. But I'm going to tell you this, you won't have an excuse. You won't have an excuse. Because you could have done differently. You could have done differently. And I can't begin to think how many people I've dealt with over the years. They went to church. They were faithful, and God blessed and everything. They got out of church. They got into problems and troubles and trials and everything going wrong, messed up. People you used to, I can talk to you about people used to come here. They got out of church, quit coming. Now they're divorced. I'm going to tell you, God wasn't in that. God wasn't in that. Hey, you could have come out differently. Your life can be different. I just want to tell you, man, God gave us a church. You can attend. You can attend. It's there. It's there. He gave us a book. You can read it. Amen. There is a God, and you know it. Lastly, I want you to think of this. You've got a preacher, and you can listen to him. You got a preacher and you can listen to him. Romans chapter 10. Would you look there? Romans chapter 10, verse 14. By the way, I'm not patting myself on the back. I don't want you to misunderstand what's going on here, all right? But look at Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Hey, you've got a preacher. You can listen to him. That verse is in the Bible, folks. Amen. That's the Word of God. God still calls preachers. Right. Still calls preachers. I realize that preaching is not near as popular as it used to be. Motivational speaking has taken over. You come and we'll make you feel good. And we'll encourage you. You can be the best you can be. You can live your best life now. And if you'll find the right one, they'll tell you how to be healthy, happy, and about a half-wit, but they call it wise, all right? They'll go through all that. But listen, if you really want something that'll help, you find you somebody that'll take this book and preach it to you. Preach it to you. You can listen to them. Hey, preachers serve a purpose for more than just marrying the young and burying the dead, okay? They have a purpose. Hebrews 13:17 says they watch for your souls. They watch for your souls. They're going to spend some time praying for you. They're going to spend some time pleading with you. They're going to do that. Can I say this to you, my friend? It has never been enjoyable for me to go make a visit to people that have quit coming to church to try to plead with them to get back in the house of God. The sad thing is, so many times you go in a case like that and you talk to people that are saved, people that know the Lord, and the truth is, everything you tell them, they say, I know that. I know that. Do you know how hard it is as a preacher not to grab them by the throat? Amen. Well, if you know it, why don't you do it?
Amen.
Oh, listen, not trying to make your life hard. I'm not here to make your life a burden. You may not believe this, but I'd rather preach on heaven. I'd a lot rather preach on heaven than hell. I would a lot rather preach on the you know, things like that. I'd a lot rather preach an encouraging exhortation than a rebuke. It's not enjoyable to do it. I'm not here to make your life a burden. I'm here to try to make it a blessing. I don't enjoy chastising you, but I would like to challenge you. Oh, my goodness. I've seen the result. The sad thing is, you have too. You've seen what happens when people walk away from God. You've seen their lives. You've seen the mess they get in. You see what happens to them. And yet you do it. Good grief, a living. Hey, don't you think it's about time to quit making excuses? And just to decide, I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to get right with God. Let me encourage you. If you'll do that, you can come to church. And no matter what the preacher is preaching on, you can say, amen, preacher! Woo! Glory, preach it! You get quiet when they're preaching on your sin. That's when you go, move on to the next point. Isn't it a lot more enjoyable when you can say amen? Hallelujah. Boy, that's right. Hey, boy, it's time to get right with God. The thing to do is repent. Make it right. Make it right. I've said it. There's no excuse for living an ungodly life. No excuse. I realize tonight I'm preaching to saved people. I realize tonight I'm preaching to folks, some of the best people in the world, best people in our church. I'm preaching to you, all right? But there's no excuse for living an indifferent life. We ought to be on top of it, on fire for God. And saying, boy, it's good to be here. What a blessing. I'm going to give it everything I've got. Live for Him. Hey, you're without excuse. But are you still making them? Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Help us to see. You've given us the Word of God. We can read it. We know there's a God. We know there's a God. We can't use that as an excuse. Lord, there's a church. It's close. We can attend. It's up to us to do it. Lord, we have a preacher and we can listen to him. Lord, would you just help us to do it? Dear God, I know what a blessing and a joy it is to live a godly life. It's enjoyable. Lord, I know the results of sin and what it does. We're without excuse. Help us to quit making excuses and do what's right. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand?